The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another final hooter here on Radio General and your loverugbyleague.com podcast. I'm Dave Parkinson, your host, and blimey, we have a packed show that I've got coming up for you. I'm going to look over the results of the last two rounds in Super League and the Championship. Going to reflect on who made the top eight, who is in the qualifiers. I've also got more interviews than you can shake a soggy stick at. So get this, I'm going to need two breaths. We've got Alex Walmsley coming up. We've got Andrew Henderson. We've got Chris Chester, Hep Cahill, Ian Watson, Kurt Gidley, Lee Radford, Mickey Higham, Neil Jukes, Rick Stone, Sean Wayne and Tony Smith. That is all coming up. But let us first of all have a look at what happened over the last 2 weeks in Super League. So round 22 saw wins for St Helens over Huddersfield, for Warrington away at Castleford Tigers. Wakefield managed to just edge victory in the south of France against Catalans Dragons. Salford crept up with a victory against Widnes Vikings. Leeds defeated Wigan and Hull defeated close neighbours Hull Kingston Rovers. Leeds ending the season on a little bit of a high because they also won in round 23. But before we move on from that round, let us hear from Ian Watson. So this is him speaking with Adrian Jackson after Salford were able to account for Widnes 32-24.
Well, Ian Watson, after all the thing that's happened off the field last week, it must be a relief to get out there and get a win tonight.
Yeah, it was a great relief to us to get back out there and get on get a winning way again. What we've got to do now is kind of refocus what we're about and look forward towards the middle eights.
Looking at the game as a whole, though, good effort from the guys.
Yeah, it was a brilliant effort. I mean, to be fair, it was on the back of a 7-1 penalty count, which we was disappointed at, to be fair, but we defended that really well in the first half, and we've shown what we're about in working hard for each other in that way as well. And then even when things didn't go for us, I mean, we're disappointed with the 40-20 that we didn't get, but the team didn't moan or gripe about anything. They just got on with it and they just defended it and they turned up for each other, and that's what we've tried to base our season on, is working hard for each other.
Got us a great start as well by scoring early doors.
Yeah. Generally, when we've started well, we've kind of controlled games and things like that as well. So it's always important to try and get off to a good start as well. And coming here to Widnes playing away, you want to get off to a good start because you know what Widnes are like and they're a decent team.
Mentioned it was a great effort. It was a stand-up performance for you guys.
Yeah, Mason was great for us today. His speed on the edge has killed. I think Arvan was struggling to keep up with him at times on that right edge of ours. He's come in, Mason, done terrifically well for us.
Widnes obviously got a big pat, but you must be happy to see your sit match them as well.
Yeah, obviously we went in with just two middles on the bench because we just thought we could play kind of a little bit of different style and move it around, and Widnes were targeting our middles, trying to fatigue us in that first half. To try and obviously get one over on us and try and get the impetus on our middles, but our middles stood up really well. Coppe, George, Flash. I mean, Flash has done about 70 odd minutes out there for us, and he's done about 50 odd tackles as well. He's putting a mammoth effort for us today there, and then Logan on the back end of that, and Weller, Araki and Olsey as well have dug him real deep. So yeah, it's really good for us, really pleasing.
When Widnes came roaring back in, what was going through your mind at that point?
Yeah, we're a confident group, we're a confident team, and we take that forward as well. Obviously, it does make you get a little bit edgy as well, but like I say, a few decisions kind of impacted that, and maybe we could have got away from it a little bit earlier. Maybe we'd have got 40-20, and maybe we'd have scored on the back of that. Maybe it opened the game up a little bit. Rough and smooth, we saw, we're a little bit inconsistent at times.
Certainly pay for the full 80 to get the winning try with Cam Brown getting a hat-trick as well.
Yeah, we don't give in. That's what we spoke about, and the boys are like that. They've got that mentality. They don't give in and they keep working hard for each other, and we've got to keep taking that forward all the time.
A bit of concern about Justin Kenny. What is the problem there?
Yeah, we're going to assess him now after the game. I've just spoke with him there. He thinks it's more of like a dead leg at the top of his thigh more than anything towards his glute. So if it's a real bad one, which it looks like Justin, it takes a lot for Justin to kind of stay down and struggle, then they're generally a couple of weeks to keep you out, so we'll assess that. But the big thing is that we get him up and running before the middle eights.
And by showing that you can come here and win, you're going to be a handful in that middle eights.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we want to make sure we win, so we want to get the 9th or 10th place so we get them points, so we're getting 4 home games, because we love playing at home and we love playing at our own stadium in front of the Speckies. And that's what we want to do in this middle eights there, and give ourselves our best opportunity to win them games.
So there's Ian Watson describing the Salford performance against Widnes, which saw them overcome the Vikings in round 22 of Super League. Try scorers on the day for Salford were Mason Caton-Brown with three, Justin Carney with one, and Josh Jones with one. Goal split between Gareth O'Brien with five and Dobson, who kicked one. Widnes, they responded gamely. It was 12 all at half time in that one. A couple of tries from Matt Whitley, a try from Patrick Arvan, and Corey Thompson also getting involved. He also kicked a goal, with Lloyd White kicking three, but it wasn't enough to secure victory for the Vikings, who succumbed, and that moved things over to round 23, when Widnes really did a job over Catalan's Dragons by 32 points to 4. Castleford had the local bragging rights with a heavy victory against Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. Warrington sneaked through thanks to a last-minute Daryl Clark try, 34-30 against Huddersfield Giants. It condemned the Giants to bottom place in Super League. There was an almighty defensive effort between Wigan and St Helens. Wigan, for probably, what, about half an hour of the game, looked like they were going to get the better of St Helens, but then the final 50 minutes saw Saints take an advantage there and eventually win by 23-4 with a late try from James Roby. Ian Watson, Salford couldn't continue that good form of the previous week against Widnes Vikings. They lost to top of the table Hull by 28 points to 20. And Leeds, yes, they haven't been able to string that many victories together over the course of the season, but they won their third successive game away at Hull Kingston Rovers. It wasn't a classic, but Leeds eventually prevailed by 24 points to 20. So that gave us a final table which saw Hull FC on top, Warrington placed in second, Wigan in third, St Helens grabbing the fourth place above Catalan's Dragons, whose form over the last 6 or 7 weeks has been atrocious. Castleford Tigers rose to 6th spot by virtue of their big win against Wakefield. Widnes slipped down to 7th with Wakefield employing the 8th spot. Leeds' late run of results has seen them rise to 9th in the table. Salford joined them in 10th to secure 4 home games within the qualifiers, with Hull Kingston Rovers in 11th spot and Huddersfield Giants rooted to the foot of the table, just 6 wins all season from their 23 games. But surprisingly, they've scored 511 points and only conceded 569. A lot of those defeats were very close run things. So that set up the Super 8s. And heading into the Super 8s were Hull, Warrington, Wigan, St Helens, Catalans, Castleford, Widnes and Wakefield. Now, I was over at Old Trafford today to get the thoughts of a couple of people out and about and what they were thinking about the oncoming eights. And first of all, this is where I also did it in tandem with Steve Manning. And Steve, well, he was a busy man. He caught up with Alex Walmsley from St Helens.
Well, Saints Alex Walmsley, before we do talk about the eights coming up, a great way to go into these eights. You get in the four and you get a win over Wigan. Does it get much better than that?
Yeah, very tough to get much better than that. It's been, you know, to manage to get those 5 wins in the last few weeks and sneak into the top four was, you know, was a great achievement by the boys. But to do it by beating others, rivals Wigan, by the death and you know, with such a good, strong win, was, you know, even more pleasing. And it all put us in good stead, you know, going into the Super 8s.
And going into these 8s, obviously, it's a case of trying to stay in that four at the least, and hopefully first or second. But you start off with a trip to Warrington Wolves, and you've got the wood over them at their place. They've got it over at Langtree, so it's a welcome away game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you know, I don't want to put too much into history and how we always seem to go well there. I don't want to jinx ourselves, but there's no better way to go from one derby than straight into another. And you know, I'm sure we're going to see a very similar game to what we saw against Wigan. Both teams are going to want this, and it's going to be physical, it's going to be fast, and we're going to get stuck into each other. I'm sure it's going to be great to watch, and we're really looking forward to that battle. And hopefully, you know, we'll start off well. We'll take in last week's performance into the game, and we'll start, you know, we'll start well, and we'll, you know, we'll kick on and have a good campaign.
And I think apart from last week, the week before at Huddersfield, you know, that was a way sort of thing on your travels. The defence was superb, and it's going to have to be spot on at the Halliwell Jones, isn't it? Because I know tries win matches, but defence wins matches, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And if you can keep that, you know, you keep a side like Wigan to 24 points, you know, and Huddersfield the week before, his defence is going well, it really is. So we need to be on point again Thursday night. They've got such a great attacking side. You know, you've seen what Chris Sandow's done this year and how Kirk Gillies come into that team. You know, so you know, another man in the park, and we've got so many good strike players. You know, I could go on, you know, talking about them all, but you know, we need to make sure we're on the money. If we defend like we did against Wigan, I'm sure we'll go okay. But you know, again, it's going to be another tough game.
So that was Alex Walmsley of St Helens, and haven't they been good over the last few weeks? I think it's either 5 or 6 victories that they've strung together at the back end of the season after looking really dodgy a few rounds ago when they lost at Warrington. Now, one player that Alex Walmsley name-checked there was Kirk Gidley, and our man Steve Manning also caught up with him.
Well, Warrington Wolves, Kirk Gidley, before we talk about these qualifiers... job done at the weekend, and you leapfrog Wigan into second spot, a point behind Hull.
It was an important game as far as, yeah, we wanted to finish the regular season as high as we could, and that was second. A good result on the weekend, but I mean, that's sort of the end of that chapter over now, as far as I'm concerned. We focus is on this week to start with, which is semi-final Challenge Cup against Wakefield, and then the next chapter begins again with the Super 8s.
So we'll talk about the Challenge Cup first of all. It's your first experience of it. I know your brother was involved at Saints all those years ago. Your thoughts going into it against a Wakefield Trinity Wildcats side who've proved this season that they can turn the top sides over, including yourself in the league?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're certainly not going to be complacent or underestimate them coming into this game. And any time it's a two-horse race, both teams, the opportunity to play at Wembley one more step is a massive one, and we expect them to be up for a big game. We're going to be up for a big game. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be hard work. But that's what the big games are all about.
Last season, they lost to the underdogs in the semi-final. Has that been talked about this week, or is it the case of that's gone, it's a different squad, it's a different team, whether we're favourites or not, we've got to be focused on getting the win?
Yeah, it hasn't been spoken about officially in a team meeting or from the coach. It's been brought up during conversation during the year, but I think all players who played in that game, and even myself, I wasn't even here then, I think we're all aware of what happened last year in that semi-final. That can't be changed. The past, we can sort out what the future holds for us, and that's this weekend.
And it's at the Lee Sporting Village, which is only a short distance from Warrington Wolves, so it's likely, but it could be a home game because there'll be a hell of a lot coming from just down the road, won't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we train over at Lee on the artificial ground outside during the winter, and yeah, it looks like a good ground, good rugby league ground, and it's not too far from home for us. And you know, I know that we've got great supporters that are prepared to travel. They've showed us that during the year, and any more help from our supporters is great, and we need to thank them in the way we perform.
And then the week after, you've got St Helens at home. It's obviously your first experience of this system that we've got to decide who gets to the grand final, and it doesn't get any harder than Saints, who turned you over at your place earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, we've sort of gone 1-1 there. They've got us at home, and then we got them at home. So, that's in the past, and we'll have to focus on that game once we get past this weekend. I know, all teams will want to get off to a good start during the Super 8s, and we'll certainly be in that position ourselves. But we'll worry about that sort of next week when it rolls around.
Get online with Radio General. www.radiogeneral.co.uk. Radio General Online has information about the station's presenters, along with our current programme schedule and details of how to make requests for patients in Warrington Hospital. There's also plenty of background information about Radio General, including our long history of broadcasting in Warrington. Radio General Online. www.radiogeneral.co.uk. Living with someone else's drug or alcohol misuse can have a devastating effect on families. Footsteps is here to help you cope. You can talk to somebody about your situation and discuss your fears, feelings and concerns with someone you can trust. Footsteps have helped hundreds of partners, parents, siblings and grandparents to regain control over their own lives. Their trained staff are ready to listen, provide support and give information and practical help whenever you need it. If you are worried about a loved one's alcohol or drug use, contact Footsteps for free confidential support on 01925 244 524. That's 244 524.
Request a song or dedication on Radio General from anywhere. Outside the hospital, call 01925 662 122. If you're inside hospital, visit our studios near reception or call extension 2122. Or bedside, use Hospedia and call star 800.
Star 800.
Requests and dedications every day for Warrington Hospital.
This is your Feel Better station.
Radio General.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, it certainly is the Final Hooter here on Radio General. I'm your host, Dave Parkinson. And if you've only just joined us, where have you been? You've missed a couple of guests already, as we've heard from Alex Walmsley, we've heard from Ian Watson, and we've just heard from Kurt Gidley. Now, he was talking about the Challenge Cup semi-finals, which I am aware are on the horizon, but I'm going to just skirt around that issue just for a moment, because I wanted to bring a couple more interviews which were carried out today. This was on Wednesday, the 27th of July, of course, when we had the launch for the Super 8s, the qualifiers, and of course the Championship Shield. So all the great and good of the game gathered in Manchester at Old Trafford, where the Super League final is going to take place in October. And I caught up with Rick Stone. Now, Rick, he's only been in the country for about 3 weeks. He's taken over in charge of Huddersfield Giants. He's seen his side lose his first couple of games in charge and finish bottom of the table. But how does he feel about everything? I'm joined by Rick Stone, new boss for Huddersfield Giants. And first of all, Rick, how are you settling in?
Yeah, settling in pretty well. The weather's been good to us, and all the players and staff and everyone on the club been really welcoming. So the boys are trying hard to take on a little bit of new structure, and you know, they're all really positive, considering they've had a pretty tough year. Lost their coach and lost a young player, actually, from the academy altogether, which is a tragedy. But they're in good spirits, and they're keen to keep fighting hard in this last little bit.
In a lot of ways, you know, Huddersfield's been very, very unlucky this season, because you look at the points for and against and there's not a lot, and when you go through the list of results, there's not been a lot in a lot of games.
Yeah, look, the for and against generally tells a little bit about the class factor, I think, in any competition. Huddersfield has lost a number of close games by one score or so, and again on the weekend we did the same. But look, in the end, the results are the one that counts, and you know, we've got to win obviously enough games in our seven games to sort of keep ourselves in the top flight competition next year. That's our goal, obviously, and you know, that's something we're going to be working tremendously hard to do, and we start with Salford next Sunday.
I'm guessing this is the first time that you've ever been involved in a structure like this. What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, well, I was talking to Mick Dobson over there, who was involved in it last year with Self, and he goes, there's a lot of pressure, you know, there's a lot of external pressure, and there's a lot of pressure as it comes down to it. So what we're going to do is work hard on just making sure our principles and our structures are nice and sound, and we'll get to that stage where we've got to play and we're under pressure. We're going to hold our nerve and be confident we can get it done.
And any changes ahead, you know, for the next few weeks? Are you starting to see, you know, the way that certain players and combinations you've got go?
Yeah, look, I've learned a little bit, obviously, in the last couple of weeks, and I'll learn a bit more as we go along. But starting to get my head around the squad, and we've got a few boys coming back in the next week or two, so that'll be good. And, you know, we won't be too far away from full strength, I suggest, by the time we get to week three of the middle eight. So that'll be a positive, touch wood. You know, injuries in the meantime, stay tidy, and we'll get ourselves in a position where we can have a good crew available, and you know, we're all heading in the same direction, and we're all trying really hard and get to a stage where we can win some games and take a bit of pressure off ourselves.
I've asked this question to a couple of people, but heading into a competition like this, where you've gone from one competition and straight into another one virtually, with just virtue of a week, can you put anything in place? You know, do you approach it differently? Or?
Oh, look, you know, I suppose our situation is a little bit different to most teams with a new coach coming in. We're trying to catch up a little bit on the sort of structure that we're putting in and some of the key things that we want to see in our team's performance. So for us, it's a little bit about education and trying to instill some of those structures. And, you know, the week off's been good for us, and I'm pretty sure that we'll be better next week than we were last week, and hopefully the week after we'll be a bit better again. So I'd like to think we can keep improving as the middle eight unfolds.
So there was Rick Stone, the new boss of Huddersfield Giants, talking to myself a little bit earlier today. So we know from the Super League that Leeds Rhinos, Salford Red Devils, Hull Kingston Rovers and Huddersfield Giants took their place in the qualifiers, but who joined them? Well, the last 2 weeks of the championship threw up some really, really big games, some really big results as well. So let me just take you through them. We had Lee securing victory against Sheffield on the 15th of July. Then the following Sunday, it was Workington 30, Whitehaven 28, Halifax 20, Featherstone Rovers 24. That was a result which took Halifax chances of finishing within the top four away from them. They had to rely on other people coming up with results as well as them doing the business as well. Dewsbury Rams 34, Swinton Lions 16, Bradford Bulls 44, Oldham Roughheads 12 and Batley Bulldogs 31, London Broncos 20. So with that win, it meant that Batley just needed a point to secure a top four status. Action then switched over to the final round of fixtures, which started on Saturday the 23rd of July, when Whitehaven hosted Sheffield Eagles, and Sheffield backed up the good performance that they put in against Lee by coming up with a 32-14 victory over Whitehaven. Then action switched to Sunday, the 24th of July. It saw Batley secure their place in the top four by virtue of a 62 points to 24 defeat of the Swinton Lions. Workington Town edged another close game by 32 points to 30 at Oldham. Lee Centurions, well, they secured the League Leaders' Shield a couple of weeks ago, and they backed it up and collected the trophy with a 58 points to nil defeat of Dewsbury Rams. Halifax, well, we, as I mentioned before, it wasn't really in their hands. They had to beat London and rely on a result elsewhere, and they didn't manage that side of the bargain with London, who led 22 points to 6 at one stage before being pegged back at 22 all, eventually completing a 41 points to 22 victory. And Featherstone Rovers, well, they defeated Bradford Bulls, who had been on course for a top four finish for much of the season before a couple of late losses. In fact, since Rowan Smith has gone in there at the Bulls, they have won just 6 of his 11 games in charge. So what it does mean is that Featherstone Rovers took the fourth spot. So looking at the teams that joined those aforementioned Super League sides in the qualifiers, it was Lee Centurions, London Broncos, Batley Bulldogs and Featherstone Rovers. Let us now turn our attentions to another interview, and I caught up with Andrew Henderson, who told me all about what's been going on at London Broncos this season. So joined by Andrew Henderson. Andrew, first of all, congratulations, because it's a much improved season this year than last. Give us a sort of feel for it, because I think the last time I spoke to you was after the game where you played Sheffield at the Summer Bash, where you weren't too happy with the performance.
Yeah.
And since then, things ramped up a bit, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, mate, it's exciting. You know, this time last year, we were looking at the Championship Shield, and it was a bit of a doom and gloom season for the Broncos. You know, I mean, it's been a tough two or three years for the club. You know, I think from memory, you know, the club spent a lot of money in 2013 in the Super League and they didn't achieve much there, and then 2014 obviously was a disappointing year, and the club got relegated and failed really to compete at that level. And then, you know, there was a lot of expectation and pressure on the club being in the Championship in its first year, and probably just got a few things wrong, you know, on and off the field, and end up being, like you said, a difficult season last year for the club. We weren't too far off in the end, you know, we got within 4 wins of being in the 4, but again, we just, there was too many issues on and off the field that year again. So it's probably been the last 3 years probably hasn't been good for the Broncos. So the thing, for the focus for me, Dave, this year was trying to keep some consistency and continuity, you know, I mean, with the players. So we retained a number of the squad from last year. The players that I felt would still be able to offer something. And then I just felt we had to build around that. And I thought the people we brought in were better people and better players that would add value to the team. I think the big decision of moving the club to Ealing, back to West London, where the club's had its most success, was a big, big one for me. You know, I certainly noticed and identified very quickly that it was just a team in London. It wasn't a club in London. You were just so disjointed, mate, you know, if I'm being honest with you. You had your academy and scholarship based in the south of London. The first grade was based in the north of London. They were all playing out of different facilities, as what, so were we. It was just all over. So coming back to you, the opportunity at Ealing was fantastic because there was no other premier sports team in the Ealing Borough. So you're not competing against a big football club or anything like that. So we thought to ourselves, we've got an opportunity here. We could be the premier sporting team in this borough, or, you know, of Ealing. You know, and the fact that we're back in West London as well, where our best fans and crowds have been, opportunity. The main one was our kids can all train at the same facility. They can play at the same facility. We've had curtain raisers, curtain fallers before games. Sometimes we've had three games on the one day. I mean, that's fantastic, you know. And that really inspires those kids too, you know what I mean? And they feel part of it. It also gives the first team guys a sense of purpose, that you feel you're part of a club and you feel that you're taking something forward and you're rebuilding something. So there's been so many positives, you know, on and off the field, you know, as well as setting up our community department now this year and things like that. So I've been really, really pleased with the progress we've made on and off the field. And like I said, the sole purpose this year was about being better. From a performance point of view, it was about making the top four. And, you know, I mean, we've done that. And I'm really, really pleased because what this team of 2016 has done is it's laid some foundations. It's give a platform now for the team of 27 to build off, you know what I mean? And probably very similar to Lee's approach. You know, they started 4 years ago, you know, building towards building a team to get them promoted. You know, and I think now this year they've got a chance where it's probably the best team they've had it over the 4 years. It's just got better each year. Each year's got stronger and better. And now they've probably got out of the championship because the most realistic chance of promotion. And good luck to them.
In fairness, though, Broncos bringing in someone of the name of Jamie Soward, you know, that certainly gives a whole boost to the competition.
Absolutely.
Whole boost to your organisation.
Well, I think it gives a boost to the competition. You know, he's a high-profile marquee signing, but it also shows a little bit of intent from us. It almost shows we're not just going into the qualifiers just to make up the numbers. We are serious about promotion. You know, so hopefully Jamie, if he can play to the ability that we know he can, but he will really add some value to this team and give us a better chance. You know what I mean? So it's exciting, mate. You know, because the reality is, mate, there's no pressure on the championship clubs, is there? It's for the Super League clubs to lose, for us to gain. So we go in there, we can enjoy ourselves, we can enjoy the opportunity to play against some of these big clubs and big crowds and that sort of feel of it. And if you get off to a good start, you just don't know. I think it's all about how you start in these qualifiers, you know. So, I mean, obviously our first task is to try and go to league and get a result in round one, which is going to be a tough ask. But
We did earlier this season,
but I think the league team's a little bit different now than what it was at the start of the year, if we're being honest. I think at that time of the year, the league club and team, that's when they had their blip. You know, I mean, we had a bit of a blip at the back end there when we just dropped off for a couple of games, and probably that's when Lee were having their blip, when they lost to Batley, and, you know what I mean, we pushed them at home. And, you know what I mean, but since then, like I said, the team's improved over the course of the year. They've brought in better players as they've gone on, and yeah, they are, for me now, they've got a Super League team on paper there that, like I said, yeah, they've got every chance. But fair play to Derek Beaumont there. He's put his money where his mouth is, and he's signalled that intent pretty much from the start of the year that we're going for this, and he spent the money. So good luck to him, but obviously not at the expense of the London Broncos, hopefully, because, you know, we're going there, like I said, with the same intent. But like I said, there's a lot of positives from our season, from where we were to where we are now. You know, it's fantastic.
Having experienced a Broncos match day, I can tell how much the club has put into it, and you do seem really settled, you know, because that's the first comment that we made on our journey down there. This feels like a club now.
Yes, I'm glad you feel that, because that's what we're trying to build, and that's what it's about, you know what I mean? I mean, if we got promoted this year, I mean, wow, what a 12 months that would have been, from where you've been seventh in the championship and you get promoted in 1 year. That's unbelievable. But, you know, for me, it's more about the other stuff that's been going on. Like I said, I think now we are changing perception. I think people now are starting to see London are a club that are not just this basket case that are just kind of here, there and everywhere. They've got some roots now. You know, they're building a club. They're building a future. There's a bit of strategy, there's a bit of planning there, there's a bit of purpose now to the club. You know, the great thing I love about this year too is we've not had to bring any loan players in, we've not had to bring any players in on dual reg, where London have been doing that for years. Now we're actually supporting the clubs down south. We're sending players to London Scholars, so we've had a support hand and helping them get to where they've got to now, you know. And and a lot of the players that are in their team now are ex-London Academy or ex-London players that are playing there. So it's just showing you that those development pathways that have been in place for a number of years are now starting to prove dividends, because we're starting to see those guys going back to the semi-pro level in London. And we've also supported Hemel and Oxford as well at times with player support there. So I'm really proud of what we've done as a club in terms of being able to support the greater game of London. There's still some great things going on at grassroots level too, some fantastic volunteers and people working at the grassroots that still need some more support, and that's the next stage for us. Is we want to be able to support those guys a bit more in the future, but we're not going to be promising helping them now when we're still growing and building as a club, because sometimes you can promise people stuff you can't deliver on. That's no good either, you know. So at this stage it's been about trying to just get our own house in order, which I feel we've taken care of this year. We've been able to support the semi-pro game a little bit more. Next step is then to try and support the community game to some more extent if we can, working in with the Rugby League Foundation of London down there and things like that. So there's a lot of positives moving forward, as well as what's happening now. So it's exciting times, mate. It really is, and it's just a great challenge.
So Andrew Henderson admitting it's a great challenge down at London, but boy, he sounds like he's enjoying it, doesn't he? And he's definitely the right man for that job. And I think that the Broncos have really, really come on this season, risen from seventh, like Andrew mentioned there in his interview, to second in the table. The team that beat them all to the top spot was Lee Centurions, and I caught up with their boss, Neil Dukes.
Neil, we're at the launch event here for the Super 8s and the qualifiers. We've had all the fixtures revealed, and it's London first up.
Yeah, that's all we're looking at, really. Game one, not timing any run or nothing like that. Just pick our best team, what I think's our best team, and give it everything we've got, and then recover, prepare and go again.
And looking at those fixtures, I know last year it was a bit of a hammering, wasn't it, with three Super League clubs back to back. Seems to be a bit more of an even spread this year.
Yeah, it does, but again, you know, game one and two last year could have been won, and game three really at some point. So say you look at it, really, if we'd have come through that there with 4 points against three Super League sides, we'd have been a really good place, but we weren't, and ultimately we had to wait till game four to get some points. So but again, you know, no matter if we're playing a Championship team, a Super League team, home or away, it's got to be difficult. They're all up there for a reason. And the bottom four clubs are playing really well with form as well. So no easy games, like I said. It's just important to prepare and try and get game one right and then go again.
Let's reflect on those first 23 games that have been and gone, because that's what's put you in this position in the first place. And how do you feel that over, particularly the last 6 or 7 weeks, do you feel it's coming together more?
Yeah, I think it's been good. Like I say, I think certainly the last 8 weeks we've gone through our squad with players, and you know, we've got players back from injury. It's been important that everybody gets some game time, and we've done that obviously with Andrew Dixon coming back from injury, Greg McNally, Willie Tonga, and also the lads who's played a big chunk of the season got a well deserved rest as well. And again, it's never been about picking our best team for the last 7-8 weeks. It's been about, you know, trying to pick a team that's good enough to win the game, ultimately make sure everybody's got enough minutes in the legs, but not overworked as well. So try and time it right, and hopefully we've done that.
We're also around about that time of the season when lists usually start appearing of, you know, best players, best teams, best coaches, etc., etc. Just your general thoughts, I suppose, on the season as a whole.
Yeah, again, you know, probably the big one is obviously, you know, Bradford, a big club, not making the four into. A lot of people are speaking about that. And obviously there's teams in there, people didn't think they would be, probably, you know, your battlers, so, you know, deservedly so, they've had a lot of credit for that as well. But yeah, it's been a tough one. We've had some real close games this year. We've had to play very well against some very good teams who always, for us, you know, it's a cup final every time they play us anyway, so we've had to play well in some of the tight games coming through. The Championship for me is getting harder year in, year out. There's more quality players coming through, and this year's been no different. So, you know, we've had some real tough games. We've had a couple of blowout scores, to be fair.
Not as many as last year, though.
No, it's not. No, and again, I think the competition's getting better. Probably our style of play has probably changed slightly, which is not been as flamboyant, but it's been harder. Moving up, you know, them bits we've been trying to work on throughout the year will put us in good stead for the eighth.
Neil Dukes there of the Lee Centurions, who finished top of the pile with 21 wins from 23 games. They drew one and lost one. I also caught up with the skipper, a former Warrington favourite in Mickey Higham, and this is what he had to say to me.
Mickey, let's first of all reflect on what has been another fantastic season. You know, 21 wins, a draw, and just one loss from 23 games. When I put it like that, it makes it sound so simple, but I know it's anything but.
No, you're right. No, it's been some tough games this year. You know, it's an old cliche, but I think this league's been tougher than previous. You know, it does get tougher every year, and as you can see by the teams are in it. You know, it's been a tough one, but like you said, we've been consistent. You know, apart from that first opening day defeat and a disappointing draw at Bradford, we've pretty much been, you know, playing well. You know, not the renowned flair and at times that we play with. You know, we've shown that flair at times, but I think we've shown that little bit of steel and grittiness that we need to grind out results as well. You know, probably a bit more direct down the middle and get into our kicks is, you know, I think we've introduced into our game, and I certainly think we need that going into these middle eights. You've got to knock your sets out and kick well once. You turn possession over against good teams, and you're going to get burnt. So no, it's, you know, we've had that balance right this year. You know, and it shows by, you know, winning the league by, you know, a decent margin. It's been good, but again, it's one box ticked. You know, it's now on to bigger, better things.
Talking of the bigger, better things, we're here at Manchester for the launch. The fixtures are out. First up, it's London at home. They gave Lee a really tough game at the LSV, and then he was really well prepared for the rematch, wasn't he?
Yeah. Not, I wouldn't say unknown against England at home, but like they probably give it to us a little bit. You know, they come out of the box, they're aggressive, they played well, and you know, they were leading the majority of that game. You know, we did well to get back and win, but no, they're a quality team. You know, they've been up top, second, you know, for majority of the years with us as well, and rightly so. You know, Endo's it's assembled a quality squad there. You know, he's made some good additions, the full time team, so obviously that's worked for him as well. But like you said, we had a cracking result down there. I think for 60 minutes we're near on faultless at the London, you know, and it's a tough place to go. I don't think they've not been beat there all year, so that was a big one for us. You know, hopefully we can, you know, take a bit of that form again into, you know, home game. But again, it's a different kettle of fish now, it's a different animal. It's, and we're playing for Super League status here. You know, the intensity runs, goes up a few on the run. So no, it's gonna be a tough one. But like I've said it before, we just want to give the best, if we can give a good account of ourselves, yeah, I'm sure we'll be alright.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It certainly is the Final Hooter here on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com. I'm Dave Parkinson, and there I was talking to Mickey Higham, skipper of Lee Centurions. And let's just have a quick talk about the qualifiers, shall we? Because in round one, it's thrown up some really interesting games. Featherstone host Leeds Rhinos for the opener. Lee are at home to London Broncos, Salford Red Devils take on Huddersfield Giants, and Hull Kingston Rovers are at home to the Batley Bulldogs. Again, some really interesting ties there, and interestingly enough as well, Sky Sports have had their pick of the first 4 weeks of fixtures. So for the first week, Featherstone Rovers and Leeds Rhinos is the game that's been selected to be shown on television over at the Big Fellas Stadium. In round two, Lee Centurions host Salford Red Devils, and that will be shown live on Sky Sports from the Lee Sports Village. In round three, well, Sky are following Leeds Rhinos again as they travel down to Ealing to take on London Broncos, and it sounds like they're going to have to overcome a really enthusiastic team, especially if you consider just what Andrew Henderson chucks in there. And for round four, the last of the ones that have been announced so far, but there is another three rounds to go, so you'd expect another three games to be picked out to be shown, but it sees Hull Kingston Rovers take on the Lee Centurions. Just before we move on altogether from the Super 8s, I just want to go back because I did realise that we hadn't heard from one other guest when Steve Manning caught up with Widnes Vikings, Hep Cahill. Widnes eventually securing 7th place in the Super 8s.
What a great win at the weekend against Catalan Dragons, and you play them again, the opening game over there in the 8s. So before we talk about that, the win at the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's one been coming. We've been playing not too bad. I think playing better than the opposition, but losing it ourselves, really. Looking back at reviews, penalties and stuff like that, errors. So it was good to get a win. We definitely need it for the team because we haven't been far off it.
And you've got the win when you wanted it, really. The last game of the season, the regular season, and now we're into these Super 8s and Murphy's Law. You end up going to Catalans at Catalan. and say it won't be easy and they'll be looking for revenge is an understatement.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have been saying they've been struggling with form, but they're a great team and they're going to turn the corner soon. So hopefully we can put the game together like we did last week and take it to them. But it's definitely a tough trip to go over there and play them at home.
Because when they put you're in the collision line, aren't you? When they put the hits in, they hit whether they're playing well or not playing well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, some big boys in their team, and being on the other end of it's not fun. But we just got to put our best foot forward.
But you're confident that you can start off the right way and get a result, because that's like the first of seven cup finals, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we've probably been lucky that we played them last week and we get them first round. Like, all the review and stuff the coaches have put for us last week, we can just carry on into next week. So it's still fresh in our mind how they play and what we've got to do to beat them.
And is it important that you get a win over there?
Yeah, every game's important now. The position that we're in is kind of hoping other teams will lose and we win to try and get into that top four. So we're just going to look at every game as it is and walk off the field giving our best effort.
At the end of the day, you're a few points away, you're a few wins away, and you are dependent on the other side,
yep.
And it's likely to happen. But that's the goal, to try and get into that four, because otherwise you might as well put your boots away, might you?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we play rugby because we want to win, and we're all competitors, and I think every team and every player is definitely the same, so you go out to win every week. We had a meeting a few weeks ago of where we want to finish and how we want to finish the season. Is we just want to walk off every game and with our heads held high, not having lost it ourselves with little silly errors and stuff like that. And our result on the weekend against Catalan was our first step, and if we can keep that up, it'll go a long way.
Hep Cahill there from Widnes Vikings. He's been one of the form players for the Vikings all season, a real workhorse in the pack, and a really nice guy to boot as well. He was speaking with Steve Manning there. So round one of the Super 8s has thrown up again some very interesting games. Warrington at home to St Helens is the standout, but there's also Hull taking on Castleford, Wigan at home to Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, and of course the game that Hep was talking about there, Widnes Vikings going over to the south of France to take on Catalan Dragons. Sky Sports have been busy again, because the Warrington St Helens game, Hull and Castleford and Catalan Widnes will all be shown on TV. In round two, they've selected Widnes taking on Hull FC, St Helens taking on Catalan Dragons, and round three, we've got Hull FC taking on Catalan Dragons again, with them fronting the TV screens. Wigan at home to St Helens, and again, you get the feeling because of that last round result in Super League, Wigan will be hell-bent on revenge come Friday the 19th of August. In round four, it will see St Helens at home to Hull FC on the television, Wigan at home to Widnes, also on Sky Sports, and Catalan's Dragons, they will host Warrington Wolves, also on Sky Sports. We've just about reached the time where we're going to move on. So after these next few words, we're going to be talking Challenge Cup semi-finals.
Your local hospital radio.
The Feel Better station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General. Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better station.
Radio General.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, two big games to look forward to in the Challenge Cup this week, as Hull FC take on Wigan Warriors in the first semi-final. That'll be on Friday. It's going to be held at the Keepmoat Stadium in Doncaster, and Wigan, they're appearing in a record-equalling 46th Challenge Cup semi-final on Friday night. And the Warriors, they've won 30 and lost 15 of their previous games at the last four stage. Hull, well, they're appearing in their 25th Challenge Cup semi-final, having won 15 and lost 9 of their previous semi-finals. Just a couple of recent games that have taken place between these two sides. Of course, it's a repeat of the 2013 final, which, I'll be honest, wasn't a classic. Hull 0, Wigan 16 on that day. In 2002, the sides met in round 4 with Wigan rampant by 34 points to 10. But in 2000, in the quarter final, it was Hull that turned the tables on Wigan with a 14 points to 4 result. You've then got to go back to the early 90s for the last time that the sides met. They met in round 5 1994, which saw Hull lose to Wigan 22-21, and in 1993 there was a preliminary round victory for Wigan against Hull by 40 points to 2. Prior to that, there was the classic 1985 final, so a lot riding, you can say, on that. Let's hear from the two coaches that are taking their team to that semi-final. First of all, here's the Wigan boss, Sean Wayne, talking again with Steve Manning.
Well, Sean, I'm assuming hopefully you've got over what happened on Friday, and I want to focus on the Challenge Cup semi-final, OFC. Your thoughts on that?
We've not got over it. It'll take me a few months to get over that Wigan in a sense loss. We beat them on Good Friday, but that loss at the weekend was way below our standards. You know, I thought we defended well, but our attack was poor. But we've got a few days now. We've drawn a line under it. You know, from a team point of view, and we're on to a semi-final against Hull. So massive game. We need to be very, very full on this week. You know, we're a bit busted with injuries, but Hull are very fit at the minute. We're playing really well and in good form. So massive challenge for us this Friday, Steve.
They finished top of the shop. You've won over there, they've won over here. And I suppose from what you're saying, rightly or wrongly, for a change, we're going to be going into this as underdogs.
Yeah, quite rightly. So, I mean, they've had no injuries. The form's been good, you know, and they've got some great talent. They've signed many players from the NRL. I mean, top players from the NRL. They've got some great local talent with, you know, Danny Outen and Scott Taylor. They've got a real good roster, and you put that with no injuries and good form, you know, we're under the pump. But I'll put 17 players out on Friday once I know my 17, and they'll be very committed. They know what's at stake, and what's at stake is getting to Wembley, and that's going to be massive for us.
Daft question and a hard answer coming up. What have you got to do to beat them?
Deal with their middles. The back five are very strong, how they return the ball. You know, they've got threats all over the park, and I'm not saying that. They're a very, very good team. The roster they've got is fantastic, but the middles, we didn't handle them well at Old Trafford, at DW. You know, Scott Taylor playing really well, Liam Watson playing well, Danny Outen through the middle as well is tough. Well, the back five are a big threat. You know, they've got threats all over the park, so we just need to D up, make our one-on-ones, and be very, very dominant.
He's made that sound so simple, hasn't he? Sean Wayne, the Wigan boss there. They've just got to defend up and take on Lee Radford's Hull side. Now, talking of Lee Radford, he spoke with Steve Manning also, and this is what he had to say.
Well, Lee Radford, the OFC coach, possibly the Challenge Cup semi-final of the round. Wigan at Doncaster, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, obviously, you know, really, really challenging game for us, but a game that we're really looking forward to, and you know, a stadium that we're very familiar with. Obviously, our dual reg partner is Doncaster, and we've played there on numerous occasions now in pre-season friendlies and so on. So yeah, it's you know, it's going to be a real physical affair, I'm sure, but it's a game that we feel like we're prepared well for, and a game that we feel like we're going to have to perform well for to get that result.
And in Super League, it's one at PC, one at your place, and you one at their place. So it's a tough one to call. But I suppose with you being finishing top at the moment, they're third, you're going to just slight favourites.
Yeah, I think the bookies have got them as favourites. So
does that suit you?
Honestly, I'm not that you know, bothered. I think it's about Friday. I don't think there's a great deal between the two squads. I think it's who takes the opportunities on Friday night, and that's. Something we've spoke about, you know, all week, is just making sure we seize that opportunity, and when it presents itself, you know, been really ruthless, and you know, putting them to bed as best as we can at every chance we get.
You've been ruthless this last couple of games that have seen you cement the first spot going into these qualifiers.
Yeah, you know, obviously the season itself, we're over the moon with obviously where we've finished. But it's ironic, you know, it's the launch of the eights today, and I'm not really thinking about the eights. I'm, you know, everything is on Friday evening, and you know, that's worked for us. I think we've just focused on the opposition the forthcoming week, and I don't think we're going to change that too much.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
So that was Lee Radford. His mind obviously elsewhere this week, as Hull take on Wigan in the Challenge Cup semi-final. In the other semi-final, it's Wakefield Trinity Wildcats taking on Warrington Wolves. And Warrington, they're appearing in their 35th Challenge Cup semi-final. They've won 16 and lost 18 of the previous semi-finals they've appeared in. And Wakefield, well, they're appearing in their 20th Challenge Cup semi-final. They've only won 8 and lost 11 of the previous times that they've been involved. Talking of previous meetings between these two sides, the last one back in the Cup was in 1998. It was a round 4 clash which saw Warrington win at Wakefield by 42-6. Before then, you've got to go back to 1981 for the quarter final, which saw Warrington just edge Wakefield by 13-9. And even then, further back, all the way back to 1963, in fact, was a semi-final held at Station Road, Swinton, and it saw Wakefield victorious over Warrington by 5-2. Let's hear from the men who are making it count in 2016. I caught up with Chris Chester to ask him about the season and his thoughts on coaching his hometown club.
Well, Chris, have you woke up from this dream yet? It's been a dream season so far, hasn't it, for Wakefield, compared with last year?
Compared to last year, it's been a very, very good season. It just shows how much we've progressed over the last 12 months. There's still a hell of a lot of to play for. We're in the semi-final of the Challenge Cup, and we're in a Super 8 campaign that we want to go there and shake this competition up. Being realistic, the top four's out of the equation for us guys. We're 2 million points behind, but we want to finish as high as up in the ladder, and we'll be looking, trying to get up to that fifth or sixth spot.
Does funding vary depending on where you finish within that top?
Yeah, I think in terms of prize money, there's a little bit more prize money for finishing fifth, sixth and seventh. I'm led to believe there's nothing for finishing eighth, so it's important that we try and finish as high up as we possibly can, and if we can generate get some money into the club, and happy days. So my job is to prepare this team to win some games, and hopefully we can win some in the Super 8, and hopefully we can get into a final as well.
You've overseen a lot since you've got in, really, haven't you, at Wakefield? Tell us about how you're enjoying it, because you're a Wakefield lad anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, I love the job. It's a stone throw away from my house, and get to spend a little bit more time with the family. I've got two kids there that over the last 5-6 years I've not really seen them grow up, and feel a little bit guilty in that respect, and I get to spend a lot of time with them, and it makes a massive difference to family life. It's a great club. I understand what the club's all about. It's been a tough 10-15 years at Wakefield, and we've moved in the right direction. We've got two owners there that have put the club on a really good financial footing, and two very passionate Wakefield men as well in Chris Brayton and Michael Carton. There's a lot of good people at the club. They've given me an opportunity here to work at my hometown club, and I'm loving every minute of it.
And you've done this without, because I mean, last season Wakefield had almost a revolving door at the end of the season where there was a lot of people recruited because of the position that the club found itself in. You've done this on a steady squad where you've not made too many changes as well, haven't you?
And credit again has got to go to Michael for putting the squad, Michael and Brian Smith for putting the squad together. We've got plenty of depth in the squad. It's only the last few weeks that as squad has been tested due to the injuries, but we can't grumble. We've been very fortunate that over the 23 rounds we've not really had too many injuries, and that's helped us this year. It's been a good season. In terms of progression, it's important that we stabilise the club and keep that stability with the players, and just keep adding a little bit of quality each year.
And of course, you've already mentioned it, but a semi-final to look forward to. I mean, it doesn't come much bigger than that, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, it's a massive game for everybody involved at the club. The fans are very, very excited. The players are excited.
you know, myself as a coach, I'm really looking forward to what is the biggest game the club's had for a number of years now. And you know, we've got a very good chance of going to Wembley. I already spoke to my boys, are 80 minutes away from Wembley, and if that's not you know, that should be enough motivation for my group of players.
So there's Chris Chester talking about motivation, and I suppose with the motivation that there is over at, well, Wakefield, there's going to be all that motivation for Warrington as well. Let us hear now quickly from Tony Smith.
Well, Tony, this weekend it's a cup semi-final day against Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. We're excited. They're a dangerous team. They're a team that can score points and hurt teams, and you know, they've got nothing to lose. It's a big day for them, and it's a huge day for us as well. So, you know, we're going to make sure that we turn up and prepared and in the best way we can. And we're pleased that it's at Lee. I think we'll get a big crowd, and you know, it'll seem like a home game for us at times. But yeah, it's exciting time of the year all round.
They've showed what they could do, all right. I mean, they had a nice scoring loss at the weekend, but there's not many sides go to Catalan Dragons and get what they got.
No, exactly, yeah, and we suffered at the hands of them as well this year, so we know firsthand what they're capable of. So, no, they're certainly not taking anything for granted when it comes to Wakefield. They're, particularly with the ball in hand, they're as dangerous as any team in the competition. So, yeah, we're going to be have to be right on it. They've had a great year. They're, you know, probably feeling good about making the eight as well as making the semi-final. So they're in a pretty good position themselves. So, you know, we're going to make sure that we turn up with the right attitude to give us our best chance.
So there was Tony Smith, Warrington boss, and he sounds confident, doesn't he? So too do Warrington, given the fact that they're taking on a Wakefield side that, you know, they've got the better of over recent seasons. But, you know, we're in the semi-finals. Anything can happen. That was our final word for this final hooter